Welcome to another amazing episode of the Path to Podcast Success with your host, audience building and fear-crushing podcast expert, Evan Bradley Johnson. Every single week, Evan has powerful conversations with successful entrepreneurs and business owners, revealing the podcast strategies they use to grow their subscribers and sales, and how you can use your podcast to finally get to that next level. Now, turn on your mic and let's start down the path to podcast success.
Okay, welcome everyone to another very exciting episode of Path to Podcast Success. I have a guest here today that I think is going to be a lot of fun to have on the podcast. You guys listening are in for a real treat. Pamela Wilson, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Evan. I'm thrilled to be here.
We are thrilled to have you. So I like to start off in the same place with all of my guests, and that is by making sure that everyone listening is on the same page and they have the context they need to get the most that they can out of this conversation. So for those people, go ahead and tell us, what is it that you do?
What I do right now is I help people who are in mid-career build profitable online businesses. And I'm very devoted to that particular group of people because they have a lot of expertise. By the time you kind of hit the middle of your career, you have a lot of expertise. And when they bring it online, oftentimes they encounter some weird mixed messages. So it's my mission to help them to really build profits online and get well paid for the expertise that they bring to the table.
Okay. And how long have you been doing this for?
Well, I've had my own business since 1992, so I'm celebrating 30 years in business this year.
Wow. And congratulations.
Thank you. I've had my online business since 2010. And before that, it was an agency, design and marketing agency. So I've been online primarily since 2010.
That is really exciting. I love hearing about entrepreneurs who have been in the game for a long time, because that's how I got my start. I've shared this on the podcast before, so my frequent listeners know this already, but my inspiration for becoming an entrepreneur was my mom. She's been an entrepreneur for pretty much my entire life, or like back in like 2003 or something like that. She had like the first online like maternity t-shirt business. And I always remember like in the room that would become my bedroom one day, she was always like 1,000 degrees in there. She'd be pressing the shirts and then shipping them out and stuff like that. And now she's, successfully running an incredible marketing, conversational marketing agency. And she's doing really great work, and that's really exciting to see. But she got me my start because I'm a podcast producer. I produce podcasts, and I was in high school and she taught me. She's like, hey, if I teach you how to edit this podcast, her podcast, I was like, would you do it? And I'll pay you a little bit of money to do it. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then, she encouraged me every step of the way. It's great that you've been in business for that long, and I'm sure you've made an impact in other people's lives as well. That's awesome. So tell me, why are you doing this? Because you've done a lot of different things. You've seen probably all there is to see, and like as far as the kind of businesses you could have, why this one?
The reason I'm doing what I'm doing right now is that I feel kind of like I'm on a mission, because I've seen so many people who have a lot of expertise, probably like your mom and other people who have decades of experience, and they come online and they hear these messages that they need to package up their expertise and sell it for $99, basically. And in order to really get paid well, they have to sell to a huge volume of people. And there's a whole infrastructure in place trying to show people how to create funnels and drive traffic and get paid traffic and all this stuff, basically trying to convince people to sell at volume for a cheap price. And I believe the opposite. I think the best way to go is to develop a higher value offer so that you don't have to sell as many of them. You don't have to serve as many people, and you can be really well paid for your expertise, and you can really transform people's lives in a way that's measurable. So that's why I do what I do now. And I do help people in mid-career. So I help people in that specific age group.
Oh yeah. And that's kind of the two ways to go about it, right? Either you sell something cheap to a lot of people or something expensive to a few people, right? And I think it depends on what you're doing, but for something like what you're talking about and what your clients do, and if the work involves relationships and real impact, I mean, you know, imagine the difference if you were on the consuming end of it, right? Imagine the difference between hiring a coach or a consultant or learning from someone's services for $99 versus $99,000. You know what I mean? Like, you'd probably think about them a little bit differently.
You definitely do. And what I have found, I mean, maybe 99,000 is not the example I would.
Or 9,900 there.
Yeah, that's more better. Like it. That's more like it. That is what I consider to be like a high value online offer. Mm-hmm. Is the way I define it is my goal is to help people to create a single offer that generates $10,000 to $20,000 in revenue every month. Mm-hmm. So $9,900 is a great price point. You'd sell, you know, a couple of those and you're all set.
Yeah.
And the goal is to help people to really be paid well for their expertise and also transform lives. And, you know, part of that that's very interesting is that when you work with clients who have committed some real funds to the work you're going to do together, they tend to take it a lot more seriously than people who paid $99. So you have more of an opportunity to actually make change because people are committed. I mean, when you put down good money, you're going to do the work, right?
Yeah. Well, there really is a difference, you know, if you like, I mean, and like I do know, and I have known coaches who charge like $100,000 per year for like, you know, a year coaching. But even, you know, $10,000, like I said, if you're on the consuming end, like just kind of put yourself in those shoes, imagine what work would you put in and how much would you appreciate a $99 product versus a $10,000 product?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's a different mindset there. Like if you're spending, you know, $100 on something, then it's like, well, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I don't have to really, like, it's fine. Right. But if you're spending $10,000 on a product, like you're gonna do it. Like if it's a coach or a consultant, like you're putting in the work, you're showing up to those calls. You know what I mean?
Totally. It's the whole concept of kind of having skin in the game, right? So you want people who've actually made a monetary commitment to their success because they'll put in the effort. It's not without effort. It does take some effort to do this work, but you want people who are ready to do that work, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's the difference between having a small but loyal audience and just a really large, massive audience, but like they're not as loyal. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's the problem, right? People, you tell someone, you know, sell the $99,000, not the $99 one, right? And that's a bit of a mindset shift for a lot of people because what you see and represented in movies and TV shows and what everyone kind of recommends, I guess, is to sell it cheap because if it's cheaper, more people are going to buy it. But no, it's a mindset shift, and you have to find the people who are willing to put in that work and money, and they exist. They exist everywhere.
Definitely. Yeah.
So something I know to be true in the world of coaching is that we teach what we most need to learn. Right. So now you're helping people with charging what they're worth and breaking into this higher level of business and this different mindset. Did you struggle with that at any point in your, you know, career or why? How does this kind of how does that, you know, we teach what we most need to learn. Is that true for you in this instance?
I did not struggle with it. And then I struggled with it for a little while. And now I'm not struggling with it again. So in the early days of my business, I had a design and marketing agency. And my attitude from the very beginning, when I was probably, you know, your age in the early years of my business, my attitude was, I'm going to be the best and I'm going to charge for it. And I used to present proposals to clients and they'd say, you know, you're actually the most expensive option, but we're going to go with you because we can tell you're worth it, right? So, and I was very comfortable with that. I'm like, you know, I'd rather have fewer clients, but charge them more. And I just saw immediately from a very young age that that was the best business model to follow. So I followed that for decades. And then when I brought my business online, I got all these messages about how you have to build a massive audience and you can sell them products, but don't go over about $500 or else people won't pay. They think it's expensive. And I was at a point with my design and marketing agency where, like, if something didn't have five digits in it, I wasn't interested in the project, right? And I came online and I was like, okay, all this professional expertise, I have to somehow make it cheaper. Like, how does that work? So I did, I tried for probably 5 years to make that work. I created some low-cost courses and they sold, but it's such an impossible scenario because people want you to sell these inexpensive offers that financially only work if you sell at volume. And you're expected to do this at a time when you are simultaneously building an audience. So your audience is really small. You don't have that volume. And then they, you know, people will say, well, take out ads or run paid traffic and all this. So then you're going in the hole and in the red so that you can create this audience to buy this cheap offer. And like, it's just, it just, the deeper I got into it, the worse business sense it made to me, you know? So I sort of went back to my roots and said, you know what, I need to help myself and help people who are in this scenario. I mean, I help myself first because you got to put the oxygen mask over your own mouth first, right? So first worked on creating my own higher value offers. And then I just felt this commitment that people I knew who were in this mid-career point who had a ton of expertise needed to hear a different message about how to make money online that didn't involve them building a massive audience and selling cheap products. So that's why I am so committed to it. It's a really important part of what I do. The program is called the Offer Accelerator. And that's what I focus on in that program is helping people to build an offer that really builds their business, that builds their revenue and really helps them make the most of the expertise that they've acquired over all those years they've lived.
Yeah, that is a really good and relatable journey, I feel like, because we've all at some point fallen prey to what we see day in and day out being marketed to us, right? And that's the thing that always, especially when you're a newer entrepreneur, relatively, I guess, it's like, it's easy to get influenced, right? Like you start out, yeah, I'm charging what I'm worth. I'm charging high ticket, you know, high ticket and people are buying. But, you know, you see one too many times this ad of some guy posing by his Lamborghini talking about how, oh, he just made his product cheaper or whatever, and it works so well. And then you start to think, wow, maybe I'm really missing out. Maybe I do need to do that. Maybe I am doing it wrong, even though you're already like,
well, and there's, yeah, I mean, the thing is, bringing my business online, it felt very much like going into a different culture, like I'd moved to a different country or something. And so I sort of had this feeling like, okay, you know, this is a whole new venue and it has its own set of rules and I need to learn these rules. So even though they didn't really make a lot of business sense to me, I was like, all right, well, this is just how things are done in this space, right? It was a whole new way to do business.
Yeah.
But it didn't take too long, like I said, for me to realize like, oh yeah, no, that actually makes no sense. So I need to do something different than what I'm seeing, you know?
Yeah. That always, yeah. If everyone is doing it, it's probably wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and it usually, we usually have to have our own brush with that to really internalize it. And I think everybody kind of goes through that at some point. So it's great that you did and got out on the other side and lived to tell the tale. On my podcast, I am a huge fan of actionable advice. I really try to make sure people can take something away from this. I hate it when I see people who, you know, they read like a book a day, but they don't actually do anything the books tell them to do. That's where the magic happens, right? So I try to really be able to give people nuggets of information and actionable advice and feedback that they can really use and implement today. So, well, first, I want to ask you, let's say, do you have any advice for avoiding falling into that trap of being swept up in what you see online?
I think, you know, you can't sort of put your common sense on a shelf when you're looking at people talking about how things work in the online space. If you have any business experience at all, you need to keep that at the forefront when you're looking at what people talk about in the online space and just ask yourself, does this even make sense? Would this make sense in the offline space? Does this, you know, is there actually return on investment for what people are asking me to pay and all of that? Like, you need to keep your business sense in place when you're looking at online offers. And I do think that there's an opportunity online to really sort of explore the offers you're looking at and ask yourself, like, I'm imagining that somebody listening is trying to figure out, who should I learn from, right? I want to learn from someone in the online space. Who can I trust? Because that's something that people ask a lot, right? And what I would recommend is that you do some research. Don't get, like you said, swept up in the ads or the Lamborghinis or whatever. Do some research and see what people are saying about the people you're considering learning from and see if they are really well respected. See if they've been doing it for a while. I mean, I've been in the online space for 12 years, which is, I don't know what that is. And it's like dog years. The internet years are, they last a lot longer, especially when they've happened during a pandemic. So, it's, you know, 12 years in the online space is actually, you know, I'm like, somebody called me an OG the other day. I'm like, all right, well, I'll take it, you know. So you want somebody who hasn't just started 6 months ago, who's saying, yeah, I found, you know, I just started online 6 months ago and I found this way of doing business. Like, yeah, I would shy away from that person. Mm-hmm. Let them learn their lessons for a little while longer before they turn around and start to charge money for what
they matter how many cool Lamborghini pictures they post.
Exactly. Yeah. Just, you know, I think a healthy dose of skepticism is always a good idea. And in the online space, I think an extra dose would probably help you out. So
yes. That is honestly, like, that advice right there could save someone an incredible amount of money and time and stress
and like pain. Yeah.
And pain. Yeah.
It's painful to feel like you've spent money and time on somebody and you've ended up feeling you just end up kind of duped by the whole thing, right? You just feel like your money's been taken and you don't have anything to show for it. So you do want to make sure that you're advocating for yourself and really going in with your eyes wide open and checking into the people you're thinking about investing in. So it's not the advice I thought I was going to give, but I would recommend that as a starting point.
Oh, yeah. And I wanted to shift gears a little bit and ask for the advice you probably did expect to give, because the conversation around charging what you're worth is a mindset shift that a lot of people take a long time to come to on their own, right? Because it's true. I mean, it's difficult, right? If you see people charging less, and all day, I mean, the marketing you're bombarded with, think, you know, Taco Bell value menu, right? The whole point, they're like, cheap, cheap, cheap. Sale, I'm cheaper than the next guy. Buy your mattress here, they're cheaper. Buy this here, we're cheaper. So what you've been conditioned to think about is like, okay, well, if I make my product cheaper, then more people will buy it, right? That's not necessarily the case. If you're starting a new fast food restaurant, maybe it is. But for people like you and I, that's not the right way to go. And so, let's say someone is listening to this, they're hearing this, and they're like, wow, really? I could charge more? People would still buy? What's a piece of actionable advice you would give them to begin to kind of implement this and create that shift for themselves?
Yeah, it's such a great question. So we have mentioned Lamborghinis like 3 times in this conversation already, right? And Lambos are kind of like the symbol of somebody who is willing to pay a ridiculous amount of money for a vehicle that takes you from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, it does it in style. and it makes a great sound. My husband loves them. So he's a car guy and loves them. So, you know, I know the appeal, but in the end, it does the same thing as the used, you know, 99 Chevy, right? That costs a heck of a lot less. So why do people buy Lambos? Like, why do people buy luxury vehicles? Why do they spend that kind of money? It's because they want something more. They have a different set of priorities and they're willing to spend money to make those priorities, you know, real in their own lives. Maybe they prioritize design, or they prioritize performance or speed. These are all things that people will pay money for. Well, the same thing happens with online offers. People will pay if you can help them get results faster. They will pay if you can do it with style in a way that other people haven't. They will pay for performance. They will pay you more if you can do it better than other people. So that's what you need to keep in mind, is that pricing is really a positioning move more than anything else. And positioning in the marketing world means how you sort of place your offer in the marketplace and how you decide how it relates to the other markets, other offers in the marketplace. So positioning is kind of, it's a little more than just branding. It's sort of how you talk about the offer and who you target with that offer and all of that. And pricing is part of positioning. So imagine that that Lamborghinis had a base price of, I don't know, $26,000 a year. Just imagine. I mean, that's kind of like a, you know, a pretty good price for a brand new sedan in the United States, right? So imagine that that's what Lamborghinis cost. Nobody, you and I would not be talking about Lambos in this conversation if they were $26,000 a year. So, you know, a higher price can get you talked about. It can tell people. It's sort of like, you know, I've heard a lot of people say this. Alan Weiss is probably the first person I heard say it, but the first sale is to yourself. So the first person that you have to convince is you have to make a sale to yourself that you are worth charging more, like you're worth a higher value, right? Yeah. Once you sell it to yourself, then you can turn around and tell others, I have something that's really special. I'll help you to, I'll deliver a transformation that will really change your life. And I will do it faster and better than anyone else in the market. And yeah, it costs more, but you know, it's worth it, right? So, but you have to be able to sell it to yourself first so that you can say that with conviction and go out and ask for what you're worth.
Right. Yeah. And really, that is a great way to look at it, is the first sale you have to make is yourself, really, because it comes across, you know, if you're trying to sell someone on your offer but you haven't sold yourself, it's gonna,
they can smell it. I'm telling you, they can smell fear, you know. Yes, they can. I think people can smell lack of conviction for sure. Yeah.
Oh yeah, really. And I think that's very, very true, and it's a mindset people need to really be able to shift into, because like, yeah, you're worth it. You can charge that much. People will buy it. I mean, just look at the things people buy. Like you're saying, Lamborghini. Just the same thing as your 2003 Honda Civic.
Right.
Like, so that all, it accomplishes the exact same goal. So what sets the Lamborghini apart? It's more expensive.
Right.
You know? Like, it's as a result, it's, you know, you're probably going to see someone taking better care of their Lamborghini than they would their 2003 Honda Civic.
You're a lot more committed to that Lamborghini.
Exactly. So, especially for someone who's selling a relationship-based service like a coaching or consulting or something like that, you're going to be a little bit more committed to your service, charging Lamborghini prices, than they would for you if you were charging, you know, beater car prices.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah. So I think that those are incredible insights. And Pamela, I want to really thank you for coming on the podcast and sharing this, because these are well, insights that people really need to be able to internalize. And a lot of people don't learn until they've learned it the hard way. So hopefully these people can take this and run with it and save themselves a little bit of trouble. If people are interested in you, Pamela, and the work that you do, where can they find out more about you?
The best place to go is just my website homepage. I have lots of interesting things on the homepage, PamelaWilson.com. If they are interested in my program, it's OfferAccelerator.com. Mm-hmm. And that just redirects to a page on my website, but it has all the details about the program. And it does have an application because it's not for everyone. So I ask people to fill out a very brief application and I'll let them know if it's going to be a good fit for their needs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. That is the way to do it. And I appreciate you, Pamela, for coming on and sharing your incredible expertise. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Thank you for listening to this episode and for supporting the Path to Podcast Success Show. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star rating and a written review, letting us know what you think of the show so we can bring you the most value we can from these expert podcasters. Your support helps us reach more people looking to step up their podcast game so that they can continue to grow their brand and spread their message. So, again, thank you for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success, and we'll see you in the next episode.